It's good to see everyone here tonight, and glad for Preacher and Miss Tina made it safely back, and they had a good time. They spent all their gas money in California, and so we need to take an offering for them afterwards. I'm kidding, of course. The amount of money he said he spent on gas over there, I don't know how people make it. But then we paid $3.75 for a gallon of milk, so I guess I know how it feels, but we are glad that they made it back safely. They had a great time with their family, and continue to be in prayer for them. I do have a couple quick announcements. Preacher gave me the opportunity to give a couple quick announcements. Next Saturday, as you know, we moved into our new house, and I want to thank everybody that helped us move and did all that work, and we're in it, and everything's in its right place where it should be, and so we're going to have an open house. And I'd love for you guys to come by. So May the 21st, that's a Saturday, from about 1 to 3 o'clock, our front door is going to be unlocked. And you can come in and out and come and go as you want. After 3 o'clock, I lock the door. And I'm kidding. If you came at 3:30 and you want to come, I'd let you in. Maybe not Carol. Maybe not those two right back there. But I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. But we're going to do that, and we'll have just a little few refreshments if you just want to come. And we'll get you our address as well, our new address, if you'd like to come. So May the 21st, that's a Saturday from 1 to 3 o'clock, which is kind of an open house. Just come by, see where we live, and see all the places. We're just south of Yonker High School to the west of, Watson Road, right back that way in Buckeye. So not very far from that. Also, we're going to be going to taking the teenagers to Youth Camp Sunday. We had a lot of teenagers here, so I would like to encourage you. We're going to be taking the teenagers to youth camp. It's going to be June the 13th through the 17th. So anybody going into ninth grade through the 12th grade is welcome to come to youth camp. The cost is $250, but that includes everything and a T-shirt. They're going to give you a T-shirt for coming as well. And so if you have a teenager that you'd like to send to camp, they're not allowed to take cell phones. And so this could be a good opportunity for them to learn how to look up and communicate with people with real words. And so it's always fun to do that. So if you have a teenager, a young person, if you'd like to help, as Pastor has said in the past, if you just like to help with the cost and just put something in the offering plate, just want to help with youth camp, if you have a young person who would like to go or could go but doesn't have the finances to do so, church will help take care of that. We would love to have teenagers go, especially teenagers that need to get saved. So just be in prayer for that as well. We'll have some more information out, Lord willing, Sunday, and some things like that as well. So just keep those things in mind. I appreciate Pastor letting me make those announcements real quick. If you got your Bible, let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm just going to do a little bit of Bible study tonight, looking at some things we can learn from the Word of God this evening. And for tonight, I wanted to title it Three B's of Proverbs 3. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verses number 5 down through verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 down through verse number 10. So God says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this afternoon, this opportunity we have to lift up our prayers to you, lift up our praises to you. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to study your word this evening. We're thankful for bringing our pastor and Miss Tina safely back to us and just helping to have a good time of rest and with their family. We thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for a good service on Sunday and all the folks that were here and a full house. What a blessing that was to see and to get a chance to meet some visitors as well. We pray that you be with our missionaries tonight. Lord, we pray that you protect them, keep them safe. Lord, help them as they minister. Lord, help them as they plant churches and reach souls all over the world. Pray that you keep us safe this week and bring us back on Sunday. Looking forward to that as well. Bless this message tonight. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So three B's of Proverbs chapter 3, the first part or section of Proverbs, really Solomon is imparting wisdom to his sons. We can look all the way back to chapter number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, to king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. He begins to write to his sons, and I imagine as Solomon, as he's writing these, we can probably think back to when David was beginning to instruct Solomon, and remember how David had an opportunity, had a desire to build a temple for the Lord. God said, "It's great. I'm glad for your heart, glad for your burden." When you read that story, you can tell that Nathan is an independent Baptist preacher. The man comes in, "Let's build us a church building." And Nathan said, "Whoo, let's do this thing." But then God says, "No, you're a bloody king. I used you for a different purpose." And so David began to teach Solomon and began to give him the instructions and to give him the blueprints for the temple and give him everything he needed. Really, all Solomon had to do was sit back and say, "Do." As it was already done by David, but all those times when David had his son and he was teaching him how to be a king, how to make wise decisions, how to serve the Lord, how to live for God. And so now Solomon has that opportunity, and God has imparted extra wisdom to him, and he begins to write these to his sons and to those who would listen and to give them some instructions and give them some knowledge and some learning. And I'd like to use chapter 3 here and make some applications to us to use this wisdom in our own personal lives. Of course, Proverbs is full, and there's no way you could do all of it. And so we're going to focus on just these verses tonight. And so this portion of Proverbs, we can find King Solomon giving us three areas or three things to be. And as it starts chapter 3, you'll notice in verse number 1, God says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And so Jesus, God, begins to this chapter with speaking of things of himself, things that are his, things that are important, and things that God keeps for himself. And so he says, "Forget not my law." We have our Bible, but truthfully, this is God's word. These are the very words of God. These are his words. He spoke them. He wrote them through the apostles. But these are more than just words on a book. They're more than just words on a page. These are the words of life. These are the words of instruction. These are the words of knowledge. These are important things in our daily lives. We must be in this book of all the books that we have, and everybody that helped me move into our house, they all helped me move my stacks and stacks of books, and by about the 15th box, they're all wondering why I didn't use Kindle. But I like books. I like physical books. I'm old school. I like to put them on my desk. I like to reference them, mark them, things like that. Just the way I like to do it. But of all of those books, this is the most important. Now, I actually have two different Bibles. This is my preaching Bible, and my wife bought me both. My other one's it's worn. But I like to keep it next to me. It has all my notes and things in it. But God says those are his words. Those are his instructions. And those are the things that he gave to us as a people, as a human nation. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And so these are things that God has put for us. But they're not ours for ourselves. They're his. But God wants to contrast that with while Solomon begins to teach his young sons. So in verse number 5 down through verse number 10, in contrast to mine, which was God's in verse number 1, he lists 11 personal pronouns in verses 5 through 10, thine and thy. We can see an illustration of that in verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding." And so as Solomon teaches his son, God has things that are his, and mankind likes to think that there are things that are his. And in reality, everything is God's, but we're people, we're human beings, and as natural human beings, we are selfish. Just look out to the world. We are selfish. We like to keep our stuff. Everything is ours. Everything is mine. One of the first things babies learn is what? Mine. Mine. It's mine. And that they just want to take it from somebody and take it. It's mine. And as we get older, we think, man, those children ought not to do that. But even as adults, we get the same way. That's mine. That's my car. We get to, my wife has her stuff. My husband has, I have my stuff. And everything is all separate. But God wants us to make a distinction that God says these things are mine, and the mankind wants to make these things theirs, but in reality, we have to give it back to God. In reality, it can't really be ours. It has to be his. So I want us to see those things tonight. And so drawing this contrast and opposition to human nature, it's really a choice. It's really something that we have to push off to the side. As a husband and wife, you learn to share. For this, now that we have this new house, we actually have our own sinks in our bathroom. for the last 2 years, we shared a sink because our master bedroom only had one sink. We did that. We were cheap and we just put one sink in there. So we learned to share, and that kind of gets to be fun on Sunday mornings. But now we don't have to share. I have my sink and she has her sink. And so her hair is still in my sink, but anyway. So we have things that are that way. So first of all, I want us to see firstly tonight. Firstly, he says, be trusting in the Lord. Look, it says in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, we have an educated world in our world today. Do y'all remember encyclopedias? We got a few. I figured with this crowd, we know what encyclopedias are. Now it's Wikipedia. And we remember that. Everybody used to have there's just the wall of encyclopedias. And that was the law. If somebody had a trivia question and you didn't know it, you had to go and let's see, alphabetically, let's see, where would that be in the book? And you pull the big book out and you'd have your family meeting and see who was right by searching the encyclopedia. That was a fun thing to do. Nowadays, you just Google it and then we argue over the phone and things like that. We have an overly educated society, and really education is right at our fingertips. If you want to know something, it's right there. If you want to learn something, it's right there. And the smarter we get, it seems like the less we need to rely on God. But he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so as we live our lives, it seems like the more educated we get, the more experienced we get, it seems like the less and less we need God, the less and less we need to trust in God, the less and less we need to focus on God, the less and less time we need to spend in prayer or all those kind of things. And we learn to trust in ourself and our own knowledge. But God says, I want to do it with all of your heart. Remember when you had your child and you were in the pool, Dad, and your child was on the edge of the pool and you said, jump on in, come in, I'll catch you. I want you to jump on in and catch you. You were hoping your child would trust in you with all their heart. They would just jump in and hope that you would catch them. If your child went, put on a life jacket, and then came back and then jumped in, they didn't really trust in you with all their heart. They're thinking, he's probably going to let go of me. And I know my dad, he would have went, whoops, I'm sorry, and you just went down in. And they would have been wearing that life jacket. We didn't trust with all of our hearts. Lots of us, and the world will teach you, you got to have a nest egg. You got to have this backup. You got to have this backup. You got to have this backup. You got to have this backup and this backup. But God says we have to trust him with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. If you look over to Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 28, the Bible says, I think I have the wrong chapter there. 28, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. God says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And so God says, remember verse number one of chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. If we'll put all of our focus and trust in him, then our lives will be so much better. Verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This word direct thy paths literally means to physically move our feet. The Bible says the world today is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I wrote this in my notes. There's too many smart people now, and the smarter people get, the less they lean upon God. But really, we need God to direct our paths. God says, I physically want to move your feet, not just shine the light as to where you ought to go, but I want to be the one that physically moves your feet as if we are a marionette and God is moving us wherever we need to go. We've got to give him that control. We've got to give him that leadership. It's got to be to him. So first of all, 3 B's, be trusting in the Lord. Second of all, be not wise in thine own eyes. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. How do we do that? How do we be not wise in our own eyes? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew the solution? Have you ever confronted your children and asked them what they did wrong, hoping that they will tell you the truth when you already know the answer? My dad used to come in all the time. He would trick us. He'd come in our room, sit down. What'd you do today? Even though, and almost immediately we begin to think, what does he know? What is he probing for, right? But my dad kind of already knew. He may not have had mom tell him that we did something wrong, but he knew his children, we did something wrong. He was just hoping that we would just admit up to it sometimes. But be not wise in our own eyes. You see, fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, God says. Departing of evil. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We have to be wise in the things that we do and the places that we go. So many times we think to ourselves, and Christians have said this many times, I can control it. It's okay. Just a little bit won't hurt me. It's fine. You know, those guys that just fly down the freeway with their motorcycles at 100 miles an hour, and they don't have a helmet on or nothing, just thinking to themselves, hope your life insurance policy is up to par. But then they know, oh, I've done this 100 times before. It's good to go until you hit that rock or something. But we live our lives that way. We live our lives. I go to work in the morning and I do this in the afternoon. We get in our routines. And the next thing you know, we have less time for prayer because, you know, I'm not doing anything different. I'm not doing anything new. I'm okay. I don't really need to talk to God about this or that. Be not wise in our own eyes and depart from evil, God says. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is speaking of physical blessings. Health to thy navel. Really what God's saying here is it will bring strength to our core. Me and Brother Tony like to talk about boxing and different things like that. And part of fighting is having a strong core. You have to have a strong core. If you don't have a strong core, you're going to lose all the time. The best way to beat somebody is body shots. So you just pound that body and they're going to go down really fast. A strong core. You have to have a strong core. What's the Bible say? We had, as the armor of God, we had to put on that belt plate and that core that has to help us out have a strong core. God says if you put him first and you trust in him, that's a good base. What does God say? You got to be the cornerstone. Jesus Christ says, I'm the chief cornerstone. If you build upon me and build upon this rock, nothing will knock you down, right? Isn't that what God says? So he gives us a strong core. But it's really speaking of physical health. Well, how does that help us? You know, when we trust in God, it's easier to make physical decisions. When we trust in him, it's easier for us to make right decisions. When we feel like flying down the road and God convicts us in our heart, you probably ought not go that fast. It's going to bring health to us in life. But the Bible also says it should be marrow to thy bones in verse number 8. The bones are the inner strength. The bones are like our foundation. The bones are what keep us safe. The bones are what protect us. God says this word of God will protect us. This word of God will keep us safe. Sometimes I keep going this side, but I notice there's nobody sitting over here. You notice that? There's nobody over there. I just now noticed that. Rules are good. Did you know that? Now, when we go to youth camp, there's going to be some young people there that aren't going to like the rules. But the rules are there for your safety. They don't want you going out in the sticks by yourself in the dark. There's bears and there's snakes. And I've heard there's pumas around here. There's rules. There's reason for things. But God says, God's word is not grievous to them that love it, to them that work it, to them that obey it. I didn't have any problems with being at home and being in my bed by 10 o'clock. I had nothing to do. I didn't have any friends. I was a preacher's kid. Nobody ever wanted to hang out with a preacher's kid. So the rule of being home at 10 o'clock at night, not a big deal. Not a big deal to me. It's only hard for those who don't fear the Lord and don't depart from evil. Thirdly, be honoring to the Lord. Verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Don't you like to be blessed? The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. You know what my pastor taught me very well? My pastor is my father-in-law and my dad. If I say my pastor, I'm kind of referring to both of them at the same time. Because one of the things they both taught me, the more you give to God, the more God gives to you. If you want to be blessed, give to God. Anybody that says, I can't afford to tithe, means I don't want money. Because it'll always cost you far more. But you know, one thing I've also noticed, you know, God says that, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. Offerings. The more you give, and I've taught my daughter that, and I believe she learned it early, the more you give to God, the more he blesses you. The more that you make God first, the more that he blesses you. With thy substance. The Bible says here in our text, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He's talking about our physical things. Remember what God says, ye reap what you sow. Whatsoever man reapeth, that shall he also sow. That counts for everything. And my wife and I have made a decision. We've already decided in our life, everything that we have is God's. If God told me tomorrow, give your car to that individual, I hand him the keys. It's not mine. It's God's. But see, here's the problem. Too many people think it's mine. But this is what Solomon's saying. What we think is ours, that's the wrong mindset. It's all God's. All of it is his. All of it is for him to have. Honor the Lord with thy first fruits. Honor thy Lord with thy substance. Honor him. Give him everything. Everything is his first. And God says this in verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The more you give, the more God gives you to give away. My father-in-law, he has given away probably about 5 or 6 cars, and God's given him even more cars. And he says, I just keep giving them away, and God keeps giving me more cars to give away, and he gives more cars, and I give them away, and gives more cars, and I give them away. He's blessed him. He's blessed and blessed. God says, I have to be first. So God fills the barns, not us. If you look back over to Psalms chapter 100, Psalms chapter 100, verse number 3. Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is not he that made, it is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's God's mentality. Everything is his, not mine. If I want God to bless me more, I have to give it to him. Remember last Sunday morning we preached and looked into Hannah's life. Hannah had no children. God gave her one. She gave it to God, and God blessed her with 5. So God took her gift, pressed it down, shook it together, and it ran over 5 times more. 5 times more. 3 things that God wants us to be. Be trusting in the Lord, be not wise in our own eyes, and be honoring to the Lord. Everything is his. Our faith, our trust, our possessions, our life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for this time we have to study your word, to look into your word tonight. Lord, help us to make these commitments. Lord, sometimes it is hard as a human being. It's our human nature to want to just trust in ourself and figure out our own way and to rely upon ourself and our own strength and our own abilities to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, take care of ourselves, provide for our own needs. But God says, really, I want everything. And truthfully, you are worthy of everything. And Lord, if we would make the decision to focus on you, put our faith and trust in you, and turn everything over to you and let you have everything, you'll take care of us far greater and far better than we could ever do. Lord, help us to make the decisions tonight to give to you everything, and you'll bless us for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.